Live from the rain-soaked mountains of Utah, it's the Geek Show.
I can honestly attest that no one on this panel has a brain worm that has eaten part of their brain and died inside.
You don't know that?
No, I do know that, because the panelists that have had that happen are gone. Let's begin the show.
A brain worm doesn't affect anyone's ability to think anyway, though. Just ask him.
Doesn't our NDA say we're not supposed to talk about the brain worm, Kerry?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry.
The brain worm had us sign NDAs.
It was really smart.
I thought that was an Onion article when I saw it at first.
Everybody did.
No, this isn't real.
He voluntarily shared that information.
And he was, and you know why he gave that information? He was trying to pay less alimony in a divorce.
Okay.
That's why he did it. It was like in 2009 or some way back.
I wasn't married to that woman. The worm was.
And it was one of his many divorces. And he didn't want to pay as much alimony. So he was trying to convince everybody, I can't make as much money as I used to because I have short-term and long-term memory loss because of the brain worm.
Okay, then maybe, just maybe, you can't be president too.
Nothing in the Constitution says that, Rebecca.
Nothing in the rule book that says a worm can't play basketball.
That's right. Dennis Rodman.
I immediately pulled out my Space Ghost Coast to Coast DVDs and started going through it looking for the Dr. Worm cartoon part where the worm was yelling at him, I'm so crazy I can do anything! Anyway.
God.
Wow. Pork doesn't need to be cooked.
Yes, it does need to be cooked.
Yeah, you don't want that trichinosis crawling up into your brain.
Slow, baby.
She is the Utah hockey team. She's Rebecca Frost.
Listen, okay, I either need to move out of state or lean way into if the Utah Frost. Okay,
do it. Lean into
find the survey where you can vote for one of the many terrible new Utah hockey team names, and amongst them is the Utah Frost. I'm not encouraging you to go vote for it. But
see, I haven't voted yet, but now I'm going to.
I'm going to vote for my cousin, the Yetis.
I think the voting, you have to pick three.
And it's four. Okay, good.
Is it four? And then they're going to.
And they're all terrible.
They're all terrible. It's that ranked choice voting thing. But I'm voting for the Utah Frost. Everybody.
God damn it.
We want it. All right.
But the S needs to be a Z.
Yes. Frost.
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 He's Quad T, Too Tall Tony. He's voting for the Yeti.
That's right.
Ancestry.
That's right. My people. So when I served my mission in Honduras for 2 years, they told us going down, be careful of pork because of trichinosis. And then they said, you won't know that you have it for 6 or 7 years. And by then it's too late anyway. So just be careful. So I'm like, I could go down there for 2 years and come back and 5 years later just die?
That's an episode of Star Trek. Right.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, Geek Show Arcade, Geek Show Help Desk.
And he is an episode of Star Trek. He's Robert Neal, everybody.
Go Ice Crickets.
Wearing his Be More Orioles.
Ice Crickets.
Ice Crickets.
Ice Crickets. There's the name.
All right. And returning champion. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. Lee George Cade is here.
I've been working on this all week. You ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ready? You're going to love this, Kerry. I've been working on this all week. I got to get all my dramatic gravitas.
I'm ready.
They took my goddamn belly button, Bill. No. I gotta redo it. Goddamn toasters took my belly button, Bill.
They took my eye, Bill.
What's that like, not having a belly button?
Is it just all smooth down there?
Are we sure you're not a clone?
No, we're not.
Well,
I have about 7 hours of missing time on Thursday the 3rd of May.
Just read Mickey 7. This is literally the plot of Mickey 7.
Get up to the camera and do this for me.
Yeah, can you show us?
No, we can't.
Because if you've watched the sixth day, you know that's how you tell it's a clone.
I get the staples out on Wednesday, and then I'll be able to... I was going to show you guys the staples today because the zipper club is really kind of cool.
Yeah.
It literally looks like I'm wearing a fake zipper down the middle of my abdomen.
So then you can get a knee press on belly button. to go over the zipper.
Anything I put on's a Lee press on anything.
That's so true.
Just by nature of being Lee.
But here's the thing, and Tony may remember this this person. I had an intern from the morning show, pretty blonde girl. Why can't I remember her name? She's currently in a rock band called the Butcher Babies, which you may have heard of.
She went to SUU name? As well. Yeah.
Yeah. She had no belly button. Yeah. She was born without one.
She's a cheerleader.
What
down
do you mean
there.
She was born without one?
Exactly.
That seems medically impossible.
No. She had. I think she had some sort of surgery when she was really little for a sickness.
Was that it?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense.
I'm serious. She would pull up her shirt and just smooth. You know.
Yep. Dr. White says her name was Heidi.
Heidi, that's it.
Yes,
the regular
that's right.
Kyle X Heidi.
Yeah. So it was old incision was an inch and a half wide and looked like a freaky meat trench. And when they went in, freaky meat
down.
Trench. So when they
that's
when
what,
they went in,
that's what Aaron Taylor Johnson has in his abs.
Yeah. So when they went in and fixed everything up, which is like a 4-hour surgery, they were like, well. I woke up and the surgeon standing there smiling, really nice guy, nice eyes, super, super dreamy guy. And he's like, I have good news. The prognosis is good. You'll have a slow 2-week recovery and then you should be in pretty good shape. But we had to take your belly button. And I just started thinking about the minefield of jokes that this man had just given me. So,
sir, you have taken away my belly button, but given me a blessing.
Yeah. Here's a notepad full of joke opportunities.
But here's the question. What do they do with the extra belly buttons? Where do they go?
Yeah, where do you put? Does he have a jar of belly buttons?
No, they're incinerated. It's all incinerated.
They donate them to
that's
the belly button
you.
List.
There's a vat somewhere with
Is there a donor
13.
List?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying doTERRA's involved, but...
Oh, my God.
All right.
Okay. And our host,
Mr. Jackson.
I have a belly button, and I'm a member of the Zipper Club. All right.
Lucky.
I cannot wait for Wednesday because I saw the tool they used to take the staples out. And I'm like,
oh. Is it a pair of pliers?
Mine were, essentially.
Is it one of those like claw staple remover things?
No. That's what it was.
Her name
was
me.
Her name is Nurse Ratched. She's just got really pointy, jagged teeth.
Oh.
I see. I had the old technology when they did mine, and it literally was
like
one of those kind of
Office Depot.
Seriously,
we're just gonna pull these out here.
Anyway. I appreciate the Louise Fletcher reference. Thank you.
I do too. Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss because the internet certainly has. Let's take a look at it. The suit. Let's talk about the suit.
Fellas, is it gay to put on your shoes?
No.
I've seen so much discourse about how this is too feminine.
What does it matter?
What?
This
how?
Is, how else are you supposed to put your shoes on?
So
the
first,
discourse
first is the
that I
top,
saw.
Now this.
The discourse that I saw was you're never ever supposed to see Superman in this vulnerable position of putting on his shoes.
The dude changes in a phone booth.
But exactly. Fellas, is it gay to change your shoes in your penthouse apartment?
Look, I grew up on a farm. I had cowboy boots.
You got to put the boots
That's
on.
That's how you put them on.
Yeah. Also, I'm looking at his chest. I never saw the picture this close up. He looks like he's already been through it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is battle. This is battle
maybe he's
worn
taking
Superman.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I just figured it out. He's taking them off. He's like, F this. I'm out. I'm
done. So there's a fantastic breakdown of this that I saw where, one, not only do we get this fantastic look at the suit, but we do see it is dirty. It has bends in it. Like, it's not form fit. Like, it's not super duper form fitting. It has movement to it. But also, every promo shot that we ever see of a Superman movie, or comic book too, he's doing something Superman-y, right? Like, he's holding up a car, he's stopping a train, he's doing something Superman-y. This is a position that we've never really seen Superman in before.
Tired.
Tired, getting ready,
but
right? Like,
you know what this picture says to me? This looks like a job for Superman. And he's going to work. You know, that's what it looks like to me.
You know what this picture says to me? Superman never made any money saving the world from Solomon Grundy.
That's right.
Look at this curl we got going on.
That's a great curl.
That's a good curl.
So this is like a lesser form of one of the most, in my opinion, iconic drawings of Superman that Alex Ross did in his Superman giant size comic. I can't remember the exact name of it. Let me share my screen here.
Oh, and sitting in a chair.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh,
this
really?
One right here.
Oh, yes.
This is one of the most human, like...
The Ovaltine Superman.
Emotional style pictures of Superman, because here he's sitting here and he's just like, I am so tired.
Yeah.
Looking at this picture that you've just shared, Tony, made me notice something else in the James Gunn one.
Okay.
Let's go back, my screen again.
Yeah.
I was going to say, go back to the James Gunn one. Let's take a look at that.
I noticed in the one that you shared, that Superman had the red underoos. This one also has a red underoo.
Well, that's iconic for Superman. You got to have the red underoos.
But like, I wasn't sure if they were going to keep it or not.
Yep. And he's got the high neck, the high collar, which is...
The faux turtleneck.
Yep. That's different than usual.
Well, I remember interviewing an artist who was drawing Superman, and he was very frustrated because they kept sending back his drawings because of the hair curl. DC had specifically said, this is how the curl has to be, and they kept sending back drawings. You got the curl wrong. You got the curl wrong. And it looks like James Gunn got those notes, too.
Interesting. So I like everything that's going on here, honestly.
I think it's great.
Is that an existing bad guy super beam?
Speculation is that's a Brainiac.
Brother Rye.
Ooh, Brother Rye.
I'm thinking Brother Rye from Checkmate.
Whoa,
so we may get more Omax.
I'm very excited.
But the story...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I have All-Star Superman at the library. curses!
The story that Tony was talking about is Superman Peace on Earth.
Peace on Earth, yeah.
Peace on Earth, okay. Find it at your local comic shop. All right.
It's excellent.
I know Rebecca was very excited about this trailer, and maybe we'll watch it in the after party.
Yes, absolutely. Fire Tornado!
The sequel to the movie Twister... Twisters.
Why did they not do the S as a 2? I don't get it.
I know, the perfect opportunity.
Why didn't they do the T as a tornado?
Why didn't they do the W as two little tornadoes?
Oh, that would be cool.
Why isn't the whole logo just tornadoes?
Why isn't that just a tornado?
Where's my tornado font?
It was an interesting trailer. Had a little bit too much country music in it for me, but there you go.
So, Carrie, I totally agree with you, but it actually sold me even more on the movie.
Well, it is the plains. I mean, you know.
I was having a conversation with a friend, and he was like, so do I need to see the other movies before this one? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Other movies?
And he thought these were like Fast and Furious movies. And I'm like, no, there is one from the 90s, and it is nothing like this.
No.
Was it the movie? No, it's a 1939 movie with the girl and the witch and the bicycle.
That one thing, yeah.
That's the prequel.
Twister.
The discourse I've seen about this poster in particular is they're looking away from the fire tornado. It's called Twisters, dummies. There's another twister.
There's a Sharknado coming at them.
There's something worse that we can't see right now.
Here we go. Tornado.
I've got some audio from the trailer.
Wait a minute. I know
there
that noise.
Anyway. we'll watch the maybe we'll watch the trailer in the after party.
I have like a teeny tiny actual sincere fear that because this tornado season right now is crazy. If it keeps being so crazy, do they still release this movie?
Well, what they're going to be doing is liberal Hollywood is going to make these tornadoes even bigger. I've got the documents right here. They're going to be using this to promote their movie.
Because the tornadoes are woke.
Yeah, exactly.
Those woke NATOs.
It's called cloud seeding.
It's woke NATO. Thank
woke
you.
NATOs.
Thank you. All right. The other trailer that is out is a Lego Star Wars special. But this is why we're talking about it.
Well.
Is that Jar Jar Binks?
That's Darth Jar Jar, yes.
Well, look who's finally getting some stuff right.
This is just, we've come full circle. I don't know what to say.
Exactly. But the trailer is Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy. It unveils a menacing Sith Lord version of Jar Jar. From the description, the premise...
The one true version.
Yes, the special is the Star Wars galaxy gets completely mixed up when an ordinary nerf herder, Sid Griebling, unearths a
regular
powerful...
Regular glup shitto.
unearths a powerful artifact from a hidden Jedi temple, finds himself thrust into the adventure, a new, wondrously wild and twisted version of the galaxy, where the good guys are bad, the bad guys are good, and the fate of all depends on Sig, who becomes the hero to put the pieces back together.
It's the mirror universe.
Now, the Darth Jar Jar thing, for those who don't know, it's been a fan theory for years.
Theory?
As far as Rebecca's concerned, it's canon.
As far as I'm concerned, it's what really happened.
So that'll be coming to Disney Plus on September 13th. And it's several parts. It's not just one.
Just like Lego.
Lump sum. Several parts. All right, let's do a little housekeeping, and then I've got so much news, so much casting news today.
Up to here with news today.
I'll say. I had to put some aside. We've got that much news. But Lee George Cade, everybody, Zipper Club member Lee George Cade. did they even present a bill to you when you were in the hospital? Did they?
I'll get it in about a month.
In about a month?
I'm still getting bills from the last visit.
Yes.
How much do they charge a staple?
I know they charge $5 for a Tylenol.
Yes.
One Tylenol is $5.
Yeah, $5 per Tylenol.
Also,
even
if you throw up your $25 oxycodone, you still get charged for it.
Yes, you do.
I'd be like, I put that back in.
Take it back.
give me that pill back.
Let this go to waste.
Yeah, that's a fun thing about pain management when they're like, you need opioid pain management. And I'm like, but I'm allergic to that.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Thank you.
Jeez.
Anyway, so hit the QR code there. That's that'll go directly to the fund to help pay for the staples and the zipper and all of that for Lee's insides that are trying to kill him right there. It's all the money goes directly to the Cade family. There's no middleman, no money taken out. It goes directly to him.
And thank you, everybody. The nice thing is the insides that were trying to kill me are gone.
Thank Woo-hoo! You.
They said that when they finally were able to get to my gallbladder, it was about twice the size it was supposed to be. So it was on its way to doing its little trick again.
Oh.
And it was surrounded by about 60 gallstones.
Oh my God.
Which is 60. What almost, yeah, yeah. So my gallstone factory has been shut down.
What kind of Warhammer terrain can you make with all those?
I can't, because they took it away from me because they knew exactly. I was like, oh, that's very alien and weird. Let me have it.
Hey, Doc, can I have those stones?
that QR code is on all of our social medias, so you can go and scan it and send some money to Lee to get him some new insides. Geekshow.store is the website. Go to our buy our merch there. That also helps pay for things. We love our new logo. Derek Hunter, who created the old logo, said, Lee, you did an excellent job on that.
He was here
last week and got a look at it.
Wasn't it awesome seeing Derek?
It was great to see Derek. We're going to have him back again, by the way, folks.
Good.
People were asking about it. We're going to have him back again. But so geekshow.store. Also, our Patreon is at geekshowgotthiscovered.com. And you can get the after party, which we do right after this. It's a special show just for our Patreons. Videos. I sent a couple of videos in.
You have my word, Carrie, that this next week there will be video happening on the Patreon from you.
More Time Closet videos that I sent in. And so geekshowgotthiscovered.com is the link to our Patreon, because some of you can't spell Patreon. All right. Patreon. let's continue with our news. This was kind of a big deal that we got casting for Galactus. And by big deal, I mean he's very tall.
Because he's physically very large.
He's quite tall. He has one of the craziest voices I've heard in quite a while. When he wants to go low, it goes low.
And you can see the way the lower half of his face is shaped.
It's perfect.
Perfect for Galactus, I think. I'm just happy that it's not a cloud this time.
I mean, we don't know that. Movie's not out yet.
Well, I mean, we've had Celestials in the MCU previously.
Is he a celestial?
Galactus isn't a celestial. No.
He's not a celestial, but if we're going to do celestials, we can also do a large being, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't know. I hope we never acknowledge that.
I think
that celestial at the bottom of the earth.
Yeah, that doesn't actually exist.
I want a poster of that, actually. I like that still from that movie. Mm-hmm. But this guy, he was in The Witch. He's in Game of Thrones. And his name is Ralph Ineson, a British actor. Three-decade career from Harry Potter to The First Omen to now Galactus.
You want to hear him get crazy with his voice? Watch the first and sadly only season of the Willow reboot. He's a main-ish character for the first half, and he
Oh, he was in that. Huh?
Yeah.
He's going to be Galactus in our Fantastic Four movie. So that's pretty cool. Now that interestingly enough, the casting of Galactus overshadowed, you see, because he's tall. The other Fantastic Four casting that we got.
Ineson's also tall.
I just saw Ralph Ineson did the voice of the Green Knight in the Green Knight movie, mm-hmm, that we like so much.
Okay.
Rebecca, so that.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is John Malkovich is in the Fantastic Four movie.
There's your mole man.
Dr. Doom.
We don't know who he's playing.
Diablo.
I think he's playing the mail guy that comes in and drops off the mail every day.
Wait a minute. No. Mephisto confirmed right here.
We got him.
As good as any casting. Mm. They're not saying who he's playing, just that he's there. And
Happy to have him.
I was kind of hoping Silver Surfer, but that's just me.
It's the most daring casting of Alicia Masters ever.
Wow.
Oh, and he's an actor. He can pull it off.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let me feel your face, Ben. You're beautiful.
Acting!
let's see, more casting. Well, this is in talks. This is not finalized, but I feel pretty good about it. Sigourney Weaver is in talks to join The Mandalorian and Grogu. We don't know what role. But she's talking to John Favreau about being in it.
Cara Dune.
Yeah, new Cara Dune.
I'd love that.
Cara Tune.
Pedro Pascal is set to return as the Mandalorian, although in what capacity? Because he's got such a full schedule. He's shooting Fantastic Four.
I mean, this is just a day in the sound booth for him.
I guess so.
That's what they said. A lot of the reason why season three had him with the bucket on the entire time is because his demands for shooting were so severe that it was mostly the stuntmen and his body double that did the action scenes while he did the voiceover work.
Yeah, so. But you don't make a Star Wars movie and not have your star in it. I mean,
challenge accepted.
Baby Yoda.
Yeah, Grogu's the star here.
I like to think that it's going to be Mando's mom is who Sigourney Weaver is. But anyway.
Mrs. Mando.
Mama Mando.
That's who
Mama
I am.
Mama Mando.
Mama Mando.
More casting.
Lasagna.
Frank Grillo is joining Peacekeeper Season 2 as Rick Flagg Sr.
That's very interesting.
Considering he's not much older than the guy that played Rick Flagg.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
He is the father of Rick Flagg Jr., Joel Kinnaman.
That Danish piece of shit.
He will debut as Rick Flagg Sr. in the Creature Commandos, though, the animated. He'll be in that first, Max series, Creature Commandos. That's where he will start his role. But he has been cast in Peacemaker Season 2.
He's one of those guys that's actually quite a bit older than he looks.
Mm-hmm.
How old do you think Frank Grillo is? I think we've had this conversation.
64.
Before. He is 58 years old.
58. Whoa.
Looking great, man.
You see him with his shirt off, and it's like, that is not a 58-year-old. Holy cow.
I don't explain why most people think I'm 74 when I take my shirt off.
Not anymore. Now with that smooth navel.
Now they don't know.
Exactly. It is now a mystery.
Now they just cry and scream and throw things at me until I cover up again.
Hey, they've done that when I take my shirt off for years. You'll get used to it.
Yeah, because they're surprised to see a Yeti. It has nothing to do with your shirt, Tony.
Same end result.
Yeah.
More casting.
More
casting. Michelle Yeoh the lovely, wonderful, fabulous treasure that is Michelle Yeoh is joining Blade Runner 2099, a series from Amazon.
Yes. I love how neutral you are on Michelle Yeoh.
I know, right?
He has no feelings either way.
I have no opinion.
That's a casting announcement.
I'm just happy there's more Blade Runner coming. That's all I care about.
Yeah, we don't know, you know, the part she'll be playing, but it's a limited series.
I can't wait to see the one really elaborate, expensive set that they use in every damned episode and don't move away from.
Welcome to Star Trek, Lee.
Yeah.
welcome to every Netflix sci-fi series.
Yeah. Got him.
This is a limited series on Amazon, executive produced by Ridley Scott. And the first two episodes are being directed by Jonathan Van Tulleken, who directed some episodes of Shogun, which is getting a lot of notice.
Yeah, that show's pretty good.
So 2049. And they're talking about a season two of Shogun, which I didn't know that there was any source material. I mean, nothing official yet, but it just did so well.
I think it's a series, isn't it? The books? There's one-off.
There's 14 of them.
Yeah,
there's lots of books. And when he died, they had to have a Utah writer come in and fill in for him.
Wait a minute. This is sounding like
that's
Wheel
of Time.
Sorry.
Shogun's about space ninjas, right?
Sure.
Space ninjas.
All right. We got our first look at Batman Caped Crusader.
Yes.
These are some of the characters.
That's awesome.
Look at that classic Catwoman costume there. That's amazing.
Meow.
And that's an old-style Batman costume,
yes.
too.
Did you get any information on the Harley Quinn? Because they're changing her up a bit.
I did
How
not.
So?
Did you?
Oh, great. I get to talk some news here. Great.
Well, please.
So, Harley Quinn, they're playing it this way, that she will be Dr. Harleen Quinzel in this. She is an Asian-American woman, and she's light and bubbly when she's the doctor. But when she goes into makeup, it gets very cold and menacing.
Ooh.
So rather than being straight-laced as the Doctor and wacky as Harley Quinn, it's reversed.
Interesting.
Oh. Well, this is for Matt Reeves. It will portray Batman as cold, remorseless avenger of evil. Let's see, the official description. Welcome to Gotham City, where the corrupt outnumber the good, criminals run rampant, and law-abiding citizens live in constant state of fear. Forged in the fire of tragedy, wealthy socialite Bruce Wayne has become something both more and less than human, the Batman. His one-man crusade for justice attracts unexpected allies within the Gotham City Police Department and City Hall, but his heroic actions spawn deadly unforeseen ramifications. Ten episodes.
One of the other things they're doing is Commissioner Gordon is, again, portrayed as an African-American.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who's voicing him in this, but one thing they haven't said overtly is whether or not we're going to see a more brutal Batman, because it's been proven that without a Robin to kind of be like, oh, rein it in a little bit, he can just kind of go off the rails. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you see him, if it's going to be early enough that he's still fighting the pure rage that he has.
Well, I mean,
and it's not being tempered. So
I was going to say it's Matt Reeves, and it says cold, remorseless avenger of evil. So
that sounds pretty punchy.
Sounds like it. Yeah. August 1st on Prime Video, 10 episodes.
Egg asked the question: isn't Brubaker a writer on this? And he looks like Ed Brubaker is credited.
Is he?
Ooh, nice.
As a writer, J.J. Abrams is also credited as an executive producer.
Yes.
Well, that's there goes any reason to watch.
Come on, you guys. It's fine.
I'm kidding. Abrams is my homeboy. We go way back.
Your homeboy.
He has a T-shirt that says
I am still mad at him for Star Wars, though.
Quick, back to the Shogun. There's 6 books in that series, so they have lots of material for more
that's
Shogun
half,
seasons.
That's half of what I pretended to make up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see. Other information we got. The Game of Thrones spinoff, Night of the Seven Kingdoms, has got a Black Mirror director. He directed San Junipero. Owen Harris.
One of the few happy episodes.
Yeah, a very good episode, too.
Owen Harris is boarding HBO's. It's called Hedge Knight is the series. He is going to direct half of the first season. So he will be responsible for how it looks and how it feels.
So however it ends is not on him.
That's what he's saying, basically.
But anyway, so there you go. They've got actors Peter Claffey from Vikings and Valhalla, Dexter Saul Ansel, who was a young Coriolanus Snow in The Hunger Games, Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Oh, that okay. guy?
Yeah, that yeah. guy.
It's also one of the few Game of Thrones properties that has actually been written and finished.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, there's okay. an ending?
Yeah, this is a one-and-done book that's been out for ages. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It was originally called Duncan and Egg or something like that. Duncan the Tall and Egg or something. That's the book, anyway, I think, that it's based on. A century before the events in Game of Thrones, two unlikely heroes wandered Westeros. A young, naive, but courageous knight, Sir Duncan the Tall, and his diminutive squire, Egg. Set in an age when the Targaryen line still holds the Iron Throne and the memory of the last dragon is not yet passed from living memory. Yeah, you get the idea.
I'm sorry, because you just put the image of Game of Thrones meets the last dragon. I'm just thinking, what is a black kung fu dude doing in Westeros?
Show enough.
Yeah, are they allowed?
Right?
Yeah. I'm here to drop off this delivery.
It's too damn cold here. I'm going home.
I have to drop off this delivery for cream of some young guy. Sorry, Last Dragon. Barry Gordon's Last Dragon is it's a gem.
It's a gem because I get to look at Vanity for an hour. She's in that, right?
Okay. Yes, she is.
Let's see. Also, more fantasy stuff. Lee, how do you feel about this? Peter Jackson is coming back.
Stop.
For a jump scare.
Yeah. He's coming back to work on the new Lord of the Rings films.
That's old Peter Jackson when he was a big boy. He's lost a lot of weight since then.
Yeah, I know. Do you guys know what the people are clamoring for? More Gollum content.
Well, see, and that's why I'm so confused about this, because he dies at the end of... So this
Peter
has to
Jackson?
Be a prequel then, I guess, but...
Well, this is Andy Serkis is going to star and direct in Lord of the Rings, The Hunt for Gollum.
So there's a 50-year period of time, 50-ish year period of time. Well, more like 35-year period of time between when Bilbo leaves the ring to Frodo and when Frodo actually leaves.
Oh, okay.
And during that period of time, Sméagol is captured and tortured down by the Witch King of Angmar. Mm. And there's a lot going on that is hinted at and talked about in the Book of Lost Tales and other stories. So there is a lot going on that you could do some really cool storytelling with that doesn't involve any other principal characters.
Nice.
Lee, I thank you for that, but I now have just realized how much I want to have like a one-on-one with you versus Stephen Colbert to see who can out Lord of the Rings each other.
No, he would nail me to a wall in like 10 seconds. I watched that guy actually read like live Sindarin in San Diego, and
so this is from New Line and Warner Brothers to make the movies. And you're also getting Amazon developing more Lord of the Rings stuff, their own TV universe.
Yeah, because the incels would like you to believe that all of their Lord of the Rings stuff failed, but it did pretty well. So
yeah.
except for the Frost household,
except for that Gollum video game. What a
that was bad.
Turd.
Did people not like the Gollum video game?
Oh, wow.
No, they said it was a little too precious.
It was something else, I'll tell you that.
Well, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, you got some good years ahead of you, it looks like.
Yeah.
Star Wars...
Fantasy is the lesser media. People don't go for it like they go for sci-fi. It's harder to digest. It's got more fiber. So, but I'm looking forward to it. I know... Two and a half out of five panelists on Geek Show are looking forward to it. So,
yeah.
Am I in the two and a half? I want to be.
Am I the half?
Yes.
No, you're the other solid one.
Star Wars Skeleton Crew. We did get a look at this.
It's a model.
Well, that's what the news is. Disney Plus and Lucasfilm. This Skeleton Crew stars Jude Law. It's going to be streaming platform sometime this Christmas. But what they announced is they're using some old style visual effects, and Phil Tippett is coming back to help. He says this is one of the people that worked on it. He says, "I got to use all the cool stuff on my most recent Star Wars show. We had pre-viz, mocap, we shot in the volume, we did everything. But the most fun part was we also used all the old school techniques as well. We got Phil Tippett to do stop motion. We did matte paintings, like real old-fashioned matte paintings. We got an ILM painter out of retirement to come out and do that.
Oh, wow.
So to me, all the stuff is fun, but that's just another tool. It depends on how you use it."
If you want to see the most mind-blowing thing ever, pull up Phil Tippett's independent stop-motion movie, Mad God. It's something he worked on forever, and it was just released in 2021. And it's just pure id on screen from this guy who, you know, no one gave him a budget to do it. He just did it himself. But he's a god when it comes to stop motion. He's literally, the lineage goes back to Harryhausen with this guy.
So, it's going to be interesting to see how they meld the new tech and the old. It's going to be pretty cool. Skeleton Crew, which is a bunch of kids in Star Wars. I'm sure the fans will be fine with that.
Well, they'll be fine with anything with Star Wars, especially if it's...
Star Wars fans are the chillest fans I've ever met.
Are they?
The only more chill fans are the DC fans.
Oh, this looks so cool.
Let's see. And Marvel fans are not
jump scare. Sorry, I should have warned you again.
Not quite sure how to take... I mean, we knew about this, but this was... Bob Iger was detailing the reduced Marvel output. You know, this is the time of year where those phone calls to the investors happen, and they're all public record. He says, we're slowly going to decrease volume and go probably to about 2 movies a year instead of what had become 4. Reduce our film output from maybe 4 a year to 2, 3. We're working hard on what that path is. We've got a couple of good films in 25, and then we're heading to more Avengers, which we're extremely excited about. And so that would be in 26, and it was the Kang Dynasty, Avengers the Kang Dynasty, but maybe not so much.
I will be in my 60s before we get X-Men.
It's kind of looking that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it goes.
I mean, they're not in a hurry to do a live-action X-Men, it seems. Although, who knows what this Deadpool 3 will do. It could reset the entire MCU. I wouldn't put it past.
No, I wouldn't either.
Rumor was Janelle Monáe is in talks for some kind of X-Men role.
Yes, she
would. She be great as
Bishop.
Mystique.
Whoa.
Cassandra Nova.
No, the rumors are Storm, but
a great Storm.
Oh yeah, she'd be.
I think
good.
She'd make a better Mystique.
Let's see. We all enjoyed Fallout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Apparently everyone enjoyed Fallout.
I wish you would all stop so I can get my goddamn miniatures.
Exactly.
been on back order for a month and a half now.
Nielsen data shows that April belonged to Fallout. A few weeks ago, Amazon touted that Fallout had become its second biggest debut in the world right after Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. But it turns out that was specifically the United States. But apparently, worldwide, it reached huge, huge numbers. People are digging this. 2.9 billion minutes of viewing time across the first 5 days of its debut, not counting...
That's a lot of minutes.
Yeah, not counting viewing on mobile devices or computers. That's just on TVs. And most people, I don't know. Do most people watch on their computers now?
Nah, probably like your Roku, your Apple TV, something like that.
So that's
I watch a lot of shows on my computer. Right? Okay. Like, it's convenient, especially like if you're at work.
Yeah, not true. Working at work, yeah. That's over 1 billion minutes more than Amazon's last U.S. record, which was Reacher.
Yeah. Reacher.
Lee, did you start Reacher yet?
Am I almost finished with Reacher yet?
Hey, now are we're you? Talking.
I've had some time on my hands.
1.84 billion minutes for Reacher, but it's also more than twice its rival competitor, Bluey, on Disney Plus, which...
you know, a natural competitor to Fallout.
The natural competitor that streamed 1.39 billion minutes with the debut of the episode The Sign, which is apparently a big deal in Bluey world. I don't know.
The downside to all this, just like, I'm all of a sudden seeing ads when I watch Amazon. And that's not something I was having prior to this. So,
well, yeah,
that's,
no, they introduced it. So like for $2.99 a month, you can go ad free. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm already paying them $15. They can kiss my ass.
Yeah. There's a law. There's lawsuits in the works about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know Mike talked to us about this a lot, that none of these streaming shows are actually making these networks any money.
Yeah.
Like they're just money sinks, right? So
Let's see. Also, and what a surprise that Brian Fuller quit another job, Rebecca.
Hey,
what? No.
The Friday the 13th prequel series, Crystal Lake.
That guy's got commitment issues.
He really does. It's going to be on Peacock. It's through A24 Studios. We'll no longer have Brian Fuller guiding the summer camp slaughter.
So it's not going to be cute and quirky.
Well, I blame him solely for Discovery's rough launch, because Discovery had a very grim opening, and that was all Brian Fuller. And then they had to come back through and kind of try to retcon things and pull it back to Trek. And it's not Pushing Daisies, but it sounds to me like he would have walked away from Pushing Daisies after another half season anyway.
And he kind of screwed up American Gods, too. That first season was terrific.
Yeah.
And then
is why he's quitting. You guys keep telling him he's ruining things.
I guess. I don't know.
You suck. Get out of here.
He was on the first season of American Gods. He left, and then it sucked. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, so it's his fault that it started to suck because he left.
Is Hannibal the only show he's done that he stuck around for?
I think so.
Yeah, because, I mean...
You go
1.5 seasons. Wonder Falls, 7 episodes. Like these
Dead
shows
like
that
me.
He.
What about Dead Like Me?
No.
Yeah.
Here's his statement. Let's see. Adapting classic horror is something that I have some experience with. These shows require a vision that elevates and transforms as well as delivers what audiences have come to expect, which is ambitious and risky endeavor. It requires people to take a leap with me. When it works, as with Hannibal, the results can be powerful for the storytellers and audience. I couldn't be more proud of my work with the showrunner. He and I were able to accomplish with our brilliant writing staff, despite the challenges we faced.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize he did 81 episodes of Voyager.
What?
Oh, yeah. Two episodes of Deep Space Nine.
I had no idea.
Anyway.
We're all learning something today.
What did he do on Voyager? Write, produce? What was it?
Staff writer from seasons 4 through 7.
Hmm. Wow. Huh. Okay.
Let's see. Fuller's social media post characterizes the show's writer, executive producer, and showrunner as having been fired from the show due to creative differences. The trade notes that there's still hope for the series itself. Saying the series order remains in place with hopes to line up a new showrunner as soon as possible. So, we'll see.
Yeah. I think he drank his own Kool-Aid.
It could be.
I literally love
Kool-Aid.
A lot of the work that he's done. I love Kool-Aid at one point, too. But yeah, like, I honestly thought that Pushing Daisies was one of the best shows ever made.
Well, I thought Hannibal was terrific.
To the point when they said, oh, we'll do a comic book to finish up the story. I was like, no, don't. You don't have the voices. You don't have the characters. You don't have the vision. So,
Hannibal was one of my favorite shows. I just thought it was terrific. Anyway, let's see. And finally this. I love the headline from IO9. One of the most important sci-fi shows of the 21st century is finally easy to stream again.
You got that right.
Space.
BGS.
Battlestar Galactica. It's had a rough time finding
letters
a stable...
Letters are hard, Tony. It's okay.
Yeah, stable home on streaming. But it is now on Amazon Prime.
I don't think it's been streamable for a number of years. The only way to watch it was if you had the Blu-rays.
Well, I had the Blu-rays. That's how I've been watching it. But it was on Peacock just under a year ago.
Oh, okay.
Right. But they didn't promote it or anything. And, you know, you only knew it was there if you searched.
This is one of those shows that I recommend to everybody, and I think only maybe 20% of the people I talk to actually go watch it. But when they do, they're like, yeah, this is awesome.
I loved this series.
Yeah.
I love it almost as much, if not more, than Star Trek. I mean, it's
top three for me.
I don't.
This
I'm sorry.
This is the show that made me get rid of my big butt TV for a big screen.
Yeah.
it was the episode when they atmosphere jumped into New Caprica.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, Rachel, I have to go. And she's like, why? I said, I have to go. I'll be back in about 2 hours.
Went to Big Best
Box
Buy.
Later.
Came home.
Yeah, went to a place in the town we lived in Oregon. And I was like, I had trade there because we did their commercials on the radio station I worked at. And I was like, I need that TV right there. And they're like, why? And it's like, did you see the latest Battlestar Galactica? And the guy's like, yeah. It's like, okay. So they delivered it that day.
I mean, this is a
episode.
Yeah. This is a show that even my wife watched. I mean, and enjoyed. It's so, I hate to say how great it is because people think I'm overselling.
I still think there's half a season of bloat.
I will agree. You're talking about the last season. I was going to say the second to last season.
Yes.
Got a little bit when there was way too many scenes of the council around a table in a small room
talking about stuff. I honestly think they had been given a renewal order for a certain number of episodes, and that's what they wrote. And then Sci-Fi said, how about five more?
I could see that. What's the show about?
It's about bitchy people that complain about things all the time and somehow make you love it.
Why would I want to watch that?
Rebecca, it is about the lost 13th colony of humans who are out there among the stars, who are looking for this mythical place that they've been told about called Earth. But out there, they created Cylons, the robots, as slaves.
Uh-oh.
And then one day the Cylons said, no.
We're tired. We don't want to do your art anymore.
And they rebelled, and they figured out how to create bodies that are
human-like. Don't tell
her
the whole thing.
Well, that's in the first episode. You know, that's the crawl.
That's in the first
that's
7 minutes.
Okay.
That's the crawl.
That's
you know.
Fair point.
The real magic of it is they took a really shitty 1970s sci-fi show that made Mormons in space.
Yes.
I thought that was The Expanse.
Before The Expanse, there was Mormons in space.
There's more Mormons in space?
The amount of Mormons in space in The Expanse is barely a footnote. I mean,
But in the original Galactica, it's like all through it. It's you know, the planet Kolob is there.
They call it Kobol.
Cobalt. The quorums, you know.
Yeah, the quorum of the 12.
Quorum of the 12.
Oh. Getting sealed. The one that I getting didn't realize sealed. Until I moved here was like getting sealed. I'm like, wait a minute, I've heard this.
That's bad. Yeah. Because Glenn Larson, the guy who created it, is a Mormon. He lives here in Utah. But they took that idea and made it good.
They took Mormonism and made it a good idea.
They leaned less on the Mormonism and they made this a good show.
So say we all.
But the new one didn't have, why can't I
Black
remember
people?
Her name now? Well,
oh,
yes,
developed by Ronald D. Moore. I see.
Yeah,
you should have led with that.
We buried the lead just because we wanted you to have something to find on your own.
looking back at pictures of the original Battlestar Galactica was when I realized Jane Seymour used to be super, super hot. Holy cow.
I don't even know how I know this. The only thing I know about Battlestar Galactica is these tank tops are just backwards racerback tank tops. Like, that's literally what they are. They're just wearing them backwards.
They do a whole lot of weird, like, little changes to make it look like this isn't just Earth or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, all their paper has the corners cut off.
That was in the original series, too.
Was that in the original series as well? Yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, maybe in the after party, I'll get I have reproductions of the original cards that they played from the original Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, cool.
The card game was, I want to say Triad, but maybe that's not it. Is that it? I've got those up there. I got them at my very first science fiction convention I went to when I was a kid.
Nerd.
I know. But anyway, there you go. That's the news I have. What did we consume this week?
I have a long list, so why don't I just knock it out real quick?
Boom.
Hey, let's hear it, baby.
Yeah. So while I was in the hospital, I forgot my Fire Stick.
Oh, okay. No.
Oh, no.
How did you make fire?
How did I
avoid Mike and Molly is the question that we need to ask ourselves. How did I manage to avoid TBS's nonstop marathon of Friends? Turns out.
Did you catch any American Dad at night though?
You know what, Rebecca? Once again, I tried. Every single time I sit down with commercial television, I think, Rebecca's one of the smartest, funniest, nicest, kindest people I know, and she loves this show.
And she loves this garbage.
And I watch half an hour of it, and I just went, what the fuck is wrong with Rebecca Frost?
It's a worm. Worm ate part of her brain.
Question on everybody's mind.
Anyway, I tried. I really tried. I mean, we'll always have the Green Knight, right? So, but it turns out one of the networks decided they were just going to play Star Wars all weekend. So,
oh, nice.
So there's two things that went on. I'm not on the pain medication that I was on the first time I had my intestines ripped out. Okay. I realized all the fun tricks that they do to pack more time for commercials. So there's scenes in The Phantom Menace where they speed up the battle droids, and it is funnier than hell.
Really?
Oh my God. Yeah. I also learned that if you fall asleep partway through Solo and wake up partway through Rogue One, that is a very interesting movie.
Wow.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite the transition.
So, yeah, I watched every Star Wars there is in parts while I was recovering. Were they running all
nine of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
No,
okay.
All 11 of them.
Because it was the
including Solo and Rogue One.
It was
yeah.
the May the 4th weekend.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So that was fun, and thank you. But seriously, those movies were taking 3.5 hours to play because they have so many commercials in them. Jeez. So,
yeah, any Cerveza Cristal ads?
No, but a lot of Burger King, Cerveza which was cracking me up. Abbott Elementary, we caught up on that finally.
Yes.
Next Gen, trying to catch up on Next Gen, actually got to. An episode that I honestly believe was almost like a Doctor Who inspired spinoff, but we'll cover that on the Space Show next week.
Yes.
Caught up on Star Trek Discovery, which, guys, I hate to say this, you're doing a good job, but this didn't feel like the second to last episode of a series ever.
Uh-oh. Mm.
It felt like it felt like the episode before a season finale, not a series finale. So,
They're going big. They're going out big.
X-Men 97, I honestly didn't know that Wolverine could use his claws on people.
I know, right?
You wouldn't know that from the 90s cartoon.
I watched the first season and the second half of the second season of Reacher. Really, really fun watching how they take a guy my height and make him look like a guy Tony's height.
Yeah.
So, big man. Big man.
Well, when you factor in as well that everyone else on the show is probably like 5'8", you know, 5'6".
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Really, really, really fun show. So,
God, it's so good.
Tuesday night, my body decided it was up at midnight, and I was like, I'm going to watch the most boring thing I can find. And so I thought, you know what I tend to not like is standard Westerns. So I put on Deadwood. Oh. And I was awake for 7 more hours.
Oh, because they say the C word every other word.
Well, no, because there was this young go-getter
cowboy?
In it. I think his name
cowboy.
Was Timothy Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant. Oh, Deadwood is a wonderful show.
I thought to myself, boy, this guy's got a career ahead of him.
Yeah.
It turns out Deadwood's not boring, and you should not put it on to fall asleep to.
It's great. Yes.
I like that you called it a standard Western.
It's hardly.
But, well, you look at it and you go, okay, it's got good people in it, so I won't be bored, but maybe it'll be a standard Western and I can go to sleep. But no, that didn't happen. And then I watched Letterman's interview with John Mulaney.
Oh, I need to get to that.
I hear that's pretty good.
It is breathtaking. And it's also kind of fun to watch the dinner with Letterman, John Mulaney, and Chip Mulaney, where they're just sitting there talking. Because you hear about Chip Mulaney in the specials all the time, but actually seeing Dad at dinner with Dave. So it was pretty wild. And then I would not be able to handle this if David Letterman walked in and said, before I gush about you, Lee, as he does with John Mulaney, because if I were Mulaney, I would have just expired right there.
Yeah.
And then I decided to go back and watch the other ones that I'd missed. So I watched the episode with Ryan Reynolds, and I always liked Ryan Reynolds, but after watching this interview with him, and, you know, he grew up a poor kid, and I respect that when somebody comes up from nothing to something. He's making lunch. He's making pizza. And he decides he's going to make pizza for the whole crew.
Aww.
And that tells you something about Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is one of those guys that if it ever comes out that he's a terrible person, I just might, you know, give up on life completely. Because
he's from Vancouver, Canada. I don't
so
think
awesome.
Vancouver. I think anybody who's bad from Vancouver, Canada came from somewhere else. Mm. So
I wonder if Alanis Morissette regrets dumping him.
God, you want
him? I don't think so.
I don't know.
He was so young when they were together.
That's true.
So that's the 7,000 hours of television I watched this week.
Amazing. Good job,
no, you gotta wonder if he ever regrets divorcing Scarlett Johansson.
I was thinking the same thing, Rebecca. Yeah.
I see, especially like watching this interview where he talks about how they raised their kids with Blake Lively, and I think they've got a great relationship. Like they take turns making movies so the other one can be with the kids.
Yeah. You mean
I love him and Blake Lively just because they are so silly together and like they
They're
poke
perfect.
Fun at each other.
Yeah.
You mean Utah's own Blake Lively?
I did not know
that. That is right. That
she has relatives here. Yeah, they're here quite a lot, actually.
A friend of mine, once upon a time, oh God, how many years ago was this? She sent me she worked at Sur La Table, and Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds came in, and she took a picture and sent me a picture of them at Sur La Table at the Gateway.
Sorry, I get flashbacks to my brother, who's got several restaurants in Washington, D.C., and you can't bring that restaurant up without me thinking of my brother and the 5 hours he forced me to spend in that damned restaurant. Not restaurant, but restaurant supply.
Store, yeah.
Yeah.
Rebecca, did you see some movies this week?
Yeah, so this week, not a very busy week media-wise. I started watching Apple TV's Dark Matter, which...
Oh, is it good?
It's adapted from the book that we read by Blake Crouch,
yep.
Who also wrote the show. And oh. I love when an author does that. I'm also a big, big, big sucker for adaptations. I get, I think, unreasonably giddy at watching an adaptation of a book that I like. I just really love watching adaptations. I've only watched the first episode. The first two episodes are out. Stars Joel Edgerton and Jennifer Connelly.
I like Jennifer
Alice
Connelly.
Yeah. Jimmy Simpson is in there too. It's been fun to watch knowing the story.
What's going to happen? Yeah.
And so far, it's a very faithful adaptation. There are some small changes that I noticed that I actually think I like. So far, pretty engaging. I think it's mostly because of Joel Edgerton. Pretty to look at.
I think I'm going to start that today. I'm excited to watch that.
I have to agree with you. I love it when the writer of the source material is part of the show. Like the guys that wrote the Expanse books, they're the showrunners on the show, and they're like, we fixed things.
Yeah, it's got to be an author who is also open to changing some things along the way. Yeah.
So I mean, I'm excited to keep watching it. A book I read this week, Under the Banner of Heaven. John Krakauer. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I watched the show. I really liked the show. But I'm trying to do this thing with my books where I read like an artsy note and a serious one and then a fun one. And so I was due for my serious one. So I read Under the Banner of Heaven and gave it a 4 out of 5. I really quite enjoyed it.
The miniseries?
No, the book.
Oh, the book. Have you watched the miniseries already?
Yeah. I watched it when it came out.
Was crazy.
The book, I thought it was really, there's a section towards the end of the book, and I don't know what John Krakauer, he's referencing another book about Mormonism, and he talks about how by the end of the century, Mormonism will be so populous that it cannot be like it has to be part of government.
Can't be ignored.
Well, it already is here, but anyway.
But I think it's funny because this book was written in like, what, 2003 or something?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think that he may rethink that now.
Well, but that's what I thought was so interesting, because this book that he's referencing is mentioning, you know, Mormon population will be so big, but it's so fun to read it now in 2024 when we know that's not necessarily the case anymore.
It's a very different situation right now, for sure. It's
super fascinating. Anyway, and then... movie of the week, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I spent this whole week catching up on the monkey movies. I'd seen the first one before. I had not seen the other two. I kind of think it's safe to say we cured Alzheimer's, which was the goal of the first movie.
Yes, we did.
But I didn't know how hard the second one went. Because you got monkeys on horses with machine guns.
Yeah, everybody talks about the last one, War. They say that's their favorite.
War was, for me, I fell asleep during War.
Really?
Oh my God, I was so bored. What I also love about these movies is the celebrities that show up, and you're like, oh, hey. Because like Woody Harrelson shows up in the third one, and you're like, oh. Yeah.
He's like the Colonel Kurtz character at the up at the end of the river.
So, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes takes place many generations after the end of War for the Planet of the Apes, because
hundreds of years.
Because Andy Serkis is no longer around, and kind of interesting to see where the apes are now. Carrie, you're gonna love this one.
I'm gonna go sometime this week. Yes,
I know you like birds, monkeys with birds.
Yes, and guns.
But also, what are your thoughts on Christianity allegories?
Oh,
you're asking the old. You're asking the old atheist here.
Yes. It's a solid 3.5 out of 5 movie for me. If they keep making these, I will keep watching them. But it's fantastic CGI and mocap. Like, we're really making some serious advances in mocap technology in this. I kept thinking, it is a bummer they got a hot guy to play the main monkey, because I keep looking at this monkey and I can see the actor that's playing him. And I'm like, such a shame that he's a hot guy and I'm looking at this monkey.
Listen, here's the thing about these movies. If you can get me to cry, you know, in this situation, you've won. I mean, if I can care about a character that is entirely mocap, if I can care about a character that much, you've succeeded.
That's what I saw. I saw some conversation this week about Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the very first one, about how they did such a good job storytelling without the monkeys speaking, that when Caesar finally does speak, you are totally taken aback. Mm-hmm. Even though you know this is a universe in which the monkeys do talk eventually, mm-hmm. like hearing him talk for the first time when you've been so invested in his story in silence, it's.
And it was a double payoff for us old school apes fans, because the legend is what is so special about Caesar? He's the first ape to say no to a human. And so that's all part of the legend. And it was more of a payoff for those of us.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes does a really, you know how George Lucas likes to talk about ring theory with his movies and about how the like prequels and the sequels are supposed to like mirror each other. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes does that really well with Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I was noticing some mirror moments in that movie that took me back to Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And I thought, wow, that's actually like really clever. It's directed by Wes Ball, who his only other credits are the Maze Runner movies, which we know are getting rebooted. Mm-hmm. But I think he did a fantastic job. He made some interesting directorial choices, and I thought that was really cool. Monkey movie.
our friend Egg is in the chat room, and he's talking about the no when Caesar said no. He says, that's one of my favorite moments in a theater. When he spoke, the entire theater gasped and was dead silent.
It was a good moment.
It's a powerful moment.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just want to bring up the joy.
I'm excited for you to see it, Carrie.
I want to bring up the joy of being a anthropology major and listening to Rebecca call apes monkeys. Over and over.
I'll do what I want.
Oh, I know. I know.
The new Zelda movie is being directed by Wes Ball as well.
So oh, interesting.
That bodes well.
Yeah, he was interviewed about the. He's out promoting Apes, of course, and he said, "I want to make sure that the Zelda movie is not just Lord of the Rings light. So I want to make sure that." So he's going to take his time with it.
Yeah, I think he did a fantastic job directing this movie. It's written by someone who is not the original two writers. There's an interview going around that I saw, but from the original two writers, I cannot remember their names. But they had a whole 9 movie series planned, and I was like, honestly, I'll watch them. I'm curious to see the progression, the evolution of these apes, because
I want more than anything. Because if you remember in the first movie, the one with Franco, they cut to a scene of a TV, and they're talking about a spaceship that's taking off.
Trust me, Carrie, I ranted. We left Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and I was ranting about this.
And I want one of the next movies to be the ship landing.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert, they no mention of the Icarus.
Oh.
Yeah. But trust me, I was ranting. We left the theater, and I'm like, please. Give me something.
I want it so badly. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Who's next? Robert, you want to go?
Sure, I'll go. So we've had enough talk about the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Already.
Those are great figures, by the way. I like those.
Yeah, these are the Mezco figures from the 4-pack, and they are fantastic, literally.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
But Ryan North gives us another great issue with
that is
Ben
awesome
and Johnny
looking.
Getting jobs. And wow. It is hilarious.
Who's writing?
Does a great job.
Huh?
Who's writing?
Ryan North. Okay. Same guy who wrote The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Oh, yes.
And looking at the difference between Squirrel Girl and what he's doing with the FF, it's, you know, day and night, but fantastic storytelling. Like I said, he did that noir story last month, and it was great. Avengers 14, this is a Blood Hunt tie-in that has vampires in it, but doesn't.
Who's this big man?
That's Hercules.
That's Hercules. Hercules, Hercules.
Yeah, I like Hercules.
Captain America has to recruit a sub-team of Avengers because the core team is elbow-deep in vampires. And he gets Hawkeye, Hazmat, Hercules, and Quicksilver. And they actually work together pretty well.
Ah, good. Because once an Avenger, always an Avenger.
Because once an Avenger, always an Avenger. And I don't know where they send writers to get Captain America speeches, but McKay did a great job.
It's the same school where you go for Star Trek.
For captains.
Captain speeches, yeah.
I guess it's in the title Captain, because he gives another great Captain America speech. I'm just kind of like, do they just like have these things stuck somewhere for people to just go use that speech here? Because it was really, really well done.
Wow.
The Boy Wonder.
Oh, look at
that. I was curious about this one. And it's Damian kind of recounting his first outings as Robin.
I like that part.
With all of the sarcasm and snark, talking about, in one adventure, Nightwing and Batgirl. And that's, hearing him talking about them is just like, he likes them, we think, but not quite sure. And then he realizes, I kind of do like him. X-Men X-Men Forever, number 3. Family dynamics, because this is the first time we see that Nightcrawler encounters both of his mothers, and you're like, oh, snap.
Two mommies.
Wait, I thought Mystique was his mom.
Mystique is technically his dad.
Oh, interesting.
Well, that now,
take that, woke mob.
So yes. Interesting family dynamic story there. And Mystique is also trying to kill Destiny, which you're like, but you were married forever, but whatever. Yeah. And I keep asking the question with like Venom and Madame Web, how do you make a Spider-Man movie without Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Well, this is the Superman House of Brainiac special 2.5.
That is shame.
And they told a Superman story. It's hard to do with foil, sorry.
No, you're good.
But they told three stories in here. Around Superman, without Superman, all really well done.
Wow.
Including a story about Perry White running for mayor of Metropolis against a candidate who's anti-alien. And in the middle of one of their debates, fighting breaks out. and just the human story of that, which is just like really, really well told. Let's see, other media. For Star Wars weekend, we watched Solo. It's Solo.
Did you like the back half when they destroyed that one planet? And Jyn Erso died?
Take that, Kessel.
Screw Kessel. You know, I still like Solo. I think they tried a little too hard to shove, he got this here, he got this here, this happened here, this happened here, into one movie. But I still enjoyed it. It's a good heist movie.
It was good to see where he got his bull whip and his fear of snakes.
Wait a minute.
And his hat. And his hat.
Wait a minute.
We also watched Shang-Chi again this week, which, delightful
good
movie.
One. Yep.
I watched Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2. It was okay.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if I should spend some time with them or not. But I
Now, if you've read the original 12-issue maxi series and like what they did there, they're kind of doing that. They've done some adaptations which have been clever. And some change a few things around, which I've enjoyed. This story focused a lot on Supergirl and Psycho Pirate, who is a lesser known character from the Justice Society, if I remember correctly.
I hate Psycho Pirate so much.
You won't like him any more in this than
no. No. I like him dead.
But it was fun. I mean, I watched it with the girls and they enjoyed it. It was fun family quality time.
All right.
But I think I'm going to make them read the actual story just to go, here's how this is supposed to go.
Yeah.
Discovery.
Yes.
You're right. Didn't feel like the penultimate episode, but here we are.
No, I loved it. I was just like,
no, it was a good episode. Don't get me wrong, but it was just like, you're right.
I need 2 hours to tie it up.
Yeah. DS9. Okay, Rebecca, plug your ears for a second. the sound of her voice, where Sisko encounters a time-shifted captain who's dying.
Yes.
Lovely episode. Oh, okay. My goodness. And O'Brien's speech at the end. Yeah. Well done.
All right.
Okay, Rebecca, you're good.
Okay. Come on back.
Thank you for that.
There we go.
X-Men 97. You know, they're still firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
And the new Doctor Who.
Oh, you want to watch it.
I haven't started it yet.
Is it good? Wouldn't you vote for me last night because of the Aurora Borealis.
I'm sorry. Oh. Yeah.
So very happy for everyone who got to see the pretty sky or whatever.
Oh, you didn't get to see it? I'll send you some pics.
I've seen pictures of it, Tony.
I completely forgot about it.
So yeah, I think it's going to be tonight, too. So yes. Okay. So just go out tonight. Cool. Yeah.
So watch Doctor Who this afternoon, Pretty Sky tonight.
Cool. Okay.
But I only watched the second. So there were two episodes released. I only watched episode 2, which follows directly after the last special episode that came out at Christmas. It is fun to have a Doctor Who's enjoying life. He recognizes all of the tragedy in his past. He's like, but that's in the past. I've been living for this moment right here where
finally,
we can see this thing.
A fun doctor.
He's a fun doctor. And see, the relationship with Ruby is not Doctors 9 and 10 with Rose, for example. It's, I've got a buddy who can see these things with me, in whose eyes I can see these things through. And it's so much fun.
And you I saw Ruby compared to Clara.
Oh.
Yes. But the dynamic between 15 and Ruby isn't quite as stilted as Rose in 13. I'm sorry, Rose in 12. Mm-hmm. Or Clara in 12, I'm sorry. I enjoy her. I'm looking forward to seeing more of what we get from Ruby in the next year. But yeah, it's just fun. And Russell T. Davies is back, and he gets the Doctor. Mm-hmm. At least the way that I interpret the Doctor, spot on.
All right. Tony?
All the same stuff you guys already talked about. Just so good. Star Trek Discovery, Goonies, fantastic. X-Men 97, I don't know how every episode keeps getting better, but it does.
Yeah.
I am absolutely loving that.
And we need to exhaust something. Everybody on the internet seems to think this is all because of Bo DiMaio, who is the guy who was fired from the show. It takes more than one person to make an amazing show.
There's a whole team. There's a whole team.
So stop saying that it's all just because of this one guy. Yes, he was involved.
But he had a restaurant in the episode.
Mm-hmm. Also, also realize that you have to check all this stuff off with the bosses. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, not to take anything away from him, but he wasn't the only person working on it.
Not the only cook in that kitchen.
So, and then Masters of the Universe Revolutions. Holy moly, what an awesome He-Man show. So definitely watch Revelations first, which was awesome, and then He-Man. Jump into Revolutions, and it's just really good. It's really interesting.
You got me with Henry Rollins' trap jaw.
Yeah.
Oh.
You got,
good choice.
Yep, and you got, why can't I remember, Mark Hamill as Skeletor, and, you know.
Yeah.
In the first season, they changed voice actresses for
Eva Lynn.
No, not Eva Lynn. Eva Lynn is I can't remember her
Game
name.
Game of Thrones.
Lena Headey.
Lena Headey.
Lena Headey.
Yeah.
Headey. But in the first, Sarah Michelle Gellar is the voice actress for
Tila.
Tila in the first season, and then in the second season, it's Melissa Benoist.
Because she wants to work with her husband because he's Prince Adam.
Oh, there you go.
Christopher Wood.
Just a real, if you have any interest in He-Man, you definitely need to give this a watch.
Even if you didn't have an interest in
He-Man,
true. It's well done.
Agreed.
He-Man's so weird because it was all inspired by Frank Frazetta paintings, and they didn't have a backstory for it. And then DC Comics did a whole thing with He-Man comics, and then Filmation came in and said, we're going to do these Nancy Reagan approved message episodes. And so there was never really a good strong mythology behind the Masters of the Universe stories like there were with G.I. Joe, because you had those Larry Hama comics that Marvel did that really kept G.I. Joe grounded during the 80s when the cartoon was just off doing all kinds of wacky shit. So seeing Kevin Smith come in, you forget how good he is. You go back and read his run on Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
And go, oh, okay, yeah, he's a phenomenal writer. So yep. Seeing what he does with Masters of the Universe and just making it so good and taking science fiction and science fantasy and just making making them kiss, even though they're cousins and they shouldn't.
Yeah, and that's the whole Revelation season is about that. And man, it's really good.
Yeah. All
right. And then last but not least, I watched the first episode of Conan Must Go on Max.
Yes, how was
it? It's good. It's really funny.
It's enjoyable. Yeah.
Yep. He goes to Norway, and I gotta say, I don't know who they got to do his fake beard when he does the Viking bit. It's really good, though. His beard looks really good in that. And I mean, he looks like a Viking during
that
bit. And
it's HBO money.
Man, I tell you. So yeah, check out, if you like Conan and his sense of humor, his style of humor, check out Conan Must Go.
I watched Unfrosted on Netflix, the Jerry Seinfeld Pop-Tart. It was not good. I mean,
Did you see Jerry Seinfeld on SNL last week?
Oh, I hate it.
Old man yells at clouds.
Yes, that's what he's doing.
That's kind of what he's been doing lately.
Okay. He's been talking about how there's no good comedies on television. I'm like, would you leave your house, please? Because
your dear friend Larry David just ended Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Exactly.
Like,
and there's
maybe it's not everybody else.
Yeah, it's not. It's yeah. Anyway,
my favorite was the tweet he put out about how with today's culture, you couldn't do the episode of Seinfeld where Kramer had homeless people running the thingies. And then Rob McElhenney posts a picture of what happened to the character Rickety Cricket in Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Again.
And it's like, yeah, sure, these, can't do that.
Yeah, they're in this bubble. Seinfeld's one of them. They're in this bubble where, and it's not true. What's happening outside their bubble, it's not true. Anyway,
I think that's why you're going to like the David Letterman special with Mulaney, because they actually talk about not Seinfeld, but the state of comedy right now.
Trek, X-Men, all good. I've been watching, speaking of Mulaney, Everybody's in L.A., his talk show.
Oh, how's that?
Well, here's the thing. Mulaney usually makes things look so effortless. I'm glad to see him working for a living.
Oh, really? Seeing him put the effort into
it. And he's sweating. there are times when he is sweating, and I liked that, because I'm like, yeah, it's not that easy, is it? It's not that easy, is it? Anyway, Palm Royale, I finished that. I mean, how can you lose with Kristen Wiig and Carol Burnett? Just terrific. But the thing that I did not finish, I watched The Roast of Tom Brady. Now, here's what happened.
The first
roaster comes out, Jeffrey Ross does great. And then Nikki Glaser comes out and completely destroys. She was amazing. She just... And so we watched a couple more roasters after that, and I'm just like, nobody can match that. End with Nikki Glaser. You don't lead with Nikki Glaser.
That's why you need to watch F-Boy Island, because Nikki Glaser hosts it.
She's amazing.
And she just annihilates these guys.
But her 5 minutes, she did 5 or 6 minutes was all. And I couldn't watch the rest because no one could come close. No one.
Well, apparently... Netflix edited out the part where the audience was booing Kim Kardashian.
Oh, I didn't see that because I fast forwarded through her. Yeah, I was like, this person has nothing that I want to hear. Boop, 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 boop.
Everybody else thought that too. But apparently, I guess the Kardashians must have thrown like enough money at Netflix to be like, please edit that part out.
All right. Hmm. Anyway, games, Tony? We're running behind, but...
Yeah, games.
Gosh, Tony!
Many games.
The kitty game. The kitty game is out today.
Little Kitty Big City. I thought about you the other day when I saw that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Kitty game out. Kitty game
little
out.
Little Kitty Big City. How many times did I say it?
Waiting for Little Kitty game.
Let's see. Today is the 11th. So coming out this week, we have Homeworld 3. If you like the Homeworld games, this is a sequel that's been many years in the making.
I like them.
Yeah, so this will be up your alley. 13th is when it comes out. You got Little Kitty Big City came out this week.
I gotta start installing Little Kitty game.
Yep. let's see. Everything else is kind of meh. Oh, okay. Ghosts of Tsushima director's cut on PC is out on the 16th.
That's a good game.
Oh, that's an awesome game. I played all the way through that one, about 60 hours to complete it on the PlayStation back when it came out. So it's on PC now. And then, let's see, this weekend's on the 17th. So that's about it.
All right.
I have a correction. There are three more episodes of Discovery.
Oh, good.
Okay. Then that makes more sense. All right. We will see you in the after party if you're a Patreon member. GeekshowGotThisCovered.com if you want to join us. We continue the conversation over in our Patreon. And so thank you all for joining us. Live long and prosper, bitches.
Meow.
Bye.